Another day has come and gone, and another helping of Athletic Greens has been ingested by me.
Me too.
You can see the glow. Look at the glow in my face.
Oh, you are glowing.
I mean glowing. I'm matching my shirt, which is a nice salmon color. Why? Well, because with one scoop of 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, aptogens, all of that, that's how I start my day.
Me too.
And then I just glow from there.
I guzzle, guzzle, guzzle. One scoop, shake, and down. Boom. And this is not just the laser that I have used on my face. I am shiny because of Athletic Greens.
Athletic Greens was created when the founder experienced a ton of gut health issues. I'm glad we met him after all that and ended up on a complicated supplement routine to recover. Cost him $100 a day. That is not at all what any of this is about. It costs you less than $3 a day, and you're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. So right now, it's time to reclaim your health and do it with Daddy Issues. They're going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/daddyissues, athleticgreens.com/daddyissues, and take ownership of your health.
Hey, who doesn't love a good treasure hunt? Especially one filled with exciting twists, turns, and plenty of thrilling outdoor adventure. New podcast from Cavalry Audio, X Marks the Spot, The Legend of Forrest Fenn, has all of it and so much more. Now, if you don't know the name Forrest Fenn, well, let me fill you in. Fenn was an art dealer from New Mexico who hid $2 million in gold and jewels somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. Then he published a poem giving exact instructions on how to find it, but only if you were clever enough to figure the poem out. After, it turns out, someone was clever enough. The treasure was found in the summer of 2020. And amazingly, that was just the beginning of this truly exceptional story, because what happened next was, well, you're going to have to listen to find out. Listen to X Marks the Spot, The Legend of Forrest Fenn, the first and only podcast to fully investigate the Forrest Fenn treasure hunt and enjoy never-before-heard interviews with the main players involved, in-depth analysis of each clue in the poem, new insights regarding the finder and the location of the treasure, and so much more. Oh my God, it's like present after present after present. X Marks the Spot, The Legend of Forrest Fenn is available now wherever you get your podcasts. But if you go listen to that and somehow you're not listening to ours anymore, then, you know, screw Forrest Fenn.
Cool story, by the way. I followed it, and it's I love the story. Great, great, great story.
Cavalry Audio.
One beams shone in his eye. The path was marked by the stars from the southern hemisphere and the African sky.
Ugh.
Who is that?
I have no idea. I don't want to know.
What do you mean?
John Fogerty.
You don't know Paul Simon, like the Graceland album?
Yeah, of course. I just don't know your version of it.
It's basically, I sound identical to Paul Simon, so you should know.
No, if Paul Simon got into his guitar case, which he could probably fit into, and started singing, it'd sound a lot like that.
Oomba, 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 whoa!
Flat.
No, it wasn't flat.
Yeah. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Da 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 da.
Your wife is flat.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
I beg to differ.
I beg to dicker. Woo!
Cut that out, Margo.
I think your wife legitimately has a crush on me. What do you think?
I think she's fascinated by you. I think she's entertained by you, as I am. I mean, I think I have my own odd man crush on you only because you entertain me. I'm in awe every time I see you from a distance, and I'm totally amazed when I see you in person and I watch you interact and go about, you know, being in the world. It is fascinating. It's fascinating. The best word I can come up with is fascinating.
That's interesting. Like, I guess the question is, what makes it fascinating? Just to see me sort of like, you know,
the way you interact with other people, the way you read, it surprises me that you are the reader that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. The way you understand investments and economics, much more so than I do.
Right.
And yet you're just kind of kind of like a
fool.
Yeah, you're just kind of like a St. Bernard flopping around through life. Instead of a jug of whatever those things carry around in the Alps, you've got like a big bag of weed around your neck.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm both happy and frustrated about that part of my personality, you know. I like these sort of free-spirited thing, but I also wish I worked harder to make it all happen. But, you know,
yeah, it comes with a price, because everybody that I see in Cabo or friends of ours that are mutual friends of ours are always like, oh my God, how's Oliver? He's such a great guy. I love being around Oliver. Everybody loves Oliver. Oliver's like the fun party time dude. But it also, you know, you could stand to set an alarm or two.
Yeah, it takes its toll. It's funny. I got to stop drinking so much. I'm drinking.
God, how many times have you said that on this podcast alone?
I know,
to me,
I know,
on the phone,
know,
or in Cabo, or
I know, and I don't know, but yeah, I just,
are you gonna get your hair cut?
Yeah, I have to. I'm starting work June 27th. I go to Albuquerque on the 20th, and then they chop my salad. And
do they cut it?
They'll cut it, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to cut it. Okay.
Do they make your beard just as scruffy as it was in season one?
Yeah. We have a guard on a shaver thing that we know is the guard for my beard. So.
Oh, this is interesting. This is like a tour at Universal. So
yeah. So I go into the makeup trailer. I'll give you a little inside ball baseball here. Teddy ball game. What's his name again? Coach ball game.
Coach ball game.
Yeah. CB. He listens to this, doesn't he?
Hell yeah, he does.
Shout out to ball game.
Shout out to ball game.
Yeah, so I get there and shave on a number one with this thing called a peanut, and I go up. So it's like, wah, 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 boom, we know what's up. Then I do hair and makeup. Once the hair's cut, don't have to cut that for like maybe 2 weeks. Maybe 2 weeks. And then my beard doesn't get reshaved until we do it every other day. So
this is fascinating.
Yeah, so yeah, I know. People
are you scared that after your injections of whatever substance that was, that you're going to not be able to match up with last year? I know we talked about this last week, but I feel like we're getting down into the weeds, so...
Mm-hmm.
Do they know you got some sort of laser facial thing?
No, but it doesn't matter. They are allowed to know. There's going to be no difference. No one's going to be watching the show and be like, "Wow, Oliver's like less wrinkled," you know, or his complexion is a little smoother than it was last season. No, it's just purely for me. It's my own vanity. You know,
do you get recognized because of this show? Has anybody stopped you anywhere in life and said, "Oh my God, I love you," in the cleaning?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. A lot.
Well, that's good.
No, it's good. I mean, I don't get stopped all the time. I mean, you get stopped more than I do. But yeah, people have said that they really dig the cleaning lady, which is great. Those are the ones that get me excited. It's the cleaning lady and then the podcast, you know, that's what sort of gives me a bone.
Well, we were just on our trip to Napa and your name came up.
Who brought it up?
And I gotta be
Natalie?
Honest, what?
Natalie bring me up? Or
no,
Trudy?
I don't know. I might have been talking about your podcast with Aaron.
Okay.
Consciously coupled, unconsciously coupled. What's it? What is it?
Yes.
Unconsciously coupled.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you got to change that. But it came up. I know how it came up. We were at dinner, and I'm on my phone, you know, much to my wife's chagrin, and I'm going through Instagram, and I see some post that you put up. Now, it was your anniversary, so I'll give you that.
Okay.
But then it's like the same picture of you two when you're, you know, 20 years ago or whenever that was taken, where you look like you're walking down to the Blue Lagoon.
Right.
And now I'm like, if this fucking guy could one time promote our podcast, I'd fall out of this booth. And Natalie's like, yeah, but that's not really what he's doing. He doesn't want his social media. He doesn't want his Instagram to be promotional strictly. It's got to be more like avant-garde. It's him singing, making coffee, taking a dump, whatever the hell he's doing. He wants to be funny. He wants to be seen as the funny guy, not as somebody who's using social media just to promote shit. I'm like, yeah, okay, good. But if he can he bring anything other than himself to the dance? He's related to half of Hollywood. We haven't heard from Wyatt Russell. We haven't heard from Kurt, except when Eddie Vedder was on. We did get Kate. We haven't heard from your mom. Yeah. We haven't heard from any of these people. And I'm begging, borrowing, and stealing to get other people on our podcast. And you're just sitting there. I'm like, okay, he could make up for some of that by one post to his million fucking followers that he did a stupid dance for just to promote our podcast that makes nothing. Meanwhile, he has this woman who I don't know and don't like at all, selling stuff for consciously, unconsciously coupled, and she doesn't want to work on art. Okay, great, got it. But make a post, because it takes nothing other than you just sliding something over and hitting send.
No. Okay. Oh, that was beautiful. Fair. All fair. Nat has a good point. There's a few issues. The issues are sometimes days of promotion, meaning like I have too many things and I can't promote two podcasts on the same day, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes I have to slide into stories, put one in a story and then maybe one in a thing. And then I get lazy and forget and don't do anything, you know?
Right. Which goes back to the first part of our conversation.
Exactly.
Which is, everybody's fun time Ollie has got to like stiffen up every once in a while and make a post because it would benefit him somehow in the long run.
And to be straight up, like I am discouraged about the sort of monetary aspect of our podcast, meaning I love being with you and talking with you. And every time it feels like, oh, we got to make a time to do it each week. And we make jokes like, how about never a clock? You know what I mean?
Joke, which I looked for on my watch and I found.
You found
so
it?
Let's do it.
No.
Next week, let's record at never a clock.
But I will say this, every time you pop up on screen and it's Josh and Margo, I get excited and I'm excited to do it. You know what I mean? And I have fun talking to you and it's very easy and I do love it, you know?
So if our podcast, and again, I'm sure listeners are tired of hearing about us whine that
hold on.
But if it was more lucrative,
sure,
you would feel more compulsion
without a doubt,
put something up.
Not even if it was more lucrative, meaning we've been doing this for a million years. I feel like posting something on Daddy Issues isn't moving any kind of needle. The whole idea of this is to get people to listen, and I've been posting prior, and it's like, well, we're not making any money, and I still don't understand why. I really don't.
But I'm glad that in our Zoom right now, Margo's section of it is just her name, because I'm sure there's one single solitary tear trickling down her cheek.
Oh, for sure. You know, and it is not, Margo is the great, you know, she's her producer and she makes it all. She is the engine in this jalopy.
This is the little engine that can't.
Right. We're basically driving a pacer and she's the engine of our pacer.
Right. And she just put up the emoji of one tear coming down the cheek.
Yes.
This, if our podcast were a nursery school book, it would be the little engine that probably can't. So it would be chug, 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 chug.
Yeah.
Back down backward and then smashing into something and going into a million pieces. That is our podcast.
Yes.
And we should rename our podcast The Little Engine That Can't.
I like it. Or The Little Engine That, I like that better.
We should just name our podcast, hey, welcome to the latest edition of...
It's like Debbie Downer.
Yeah. God.
Our podcast, the title is just a sound. It's just... like a foghorn.
Yeah. I don't know how we can make that happen, but hey, look.
But just to finish this, and me being honest about it, it is discouraging in a sense, you know, and I know it is for you too, that we should be bringing something in, and it feels like I don't know, and I'm not trying to knock anybody here, but like I don't know what's happening. Who's doing? We have no real advertising, blah blah blah. It's fine, and I love talking to you. And again, we're pro bono. You know what I mean? It's that's what we should name our podcast. Just pro bono,
right?
That's funny, right. Actually.
That was the Bono that was rarely on the Sonny and Cher show, but there was he had a brother named Pro.
Yeah, he did. That's a good idea. Pro Bono.
Yeah, that should be our podcast.
Yeah.
Pro Bono with Ollie and Joe.
Yeah. That's good.
Anyway. Hey, look, Margo's doing all she can. Josh isn't doing shit.
No. Josh doesn't do anything. I mean, he...
No. No. He takes all the bad stuff out of the podcast. I call him in the middle of the night. He's there for us. He's putting these things in. The biggest thing Josh ever did was the episode we did with all of the sound effects.
Yeah.
That's when Josh stretched his legs.
He did. Basically, Josh just has his birds cutting our show at this point.
Right. That's what this is called, parrot shit with Joe and Oliver.
Right.
Acidic parrot shit. Oh, God. They peck it apart.
They peck it apart. There it is. There it is. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
So before we hopped on here, you gave me an extra 10 minutes because your neck hurts.
Yeah.
And I called a reporter back that was calling me from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about the 20th anniversary of my dad's death, which is fastly approaching. And I, for the life of me, I'm not exactly sure what day in the month of June it was. I think it's the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been one to celebrate and or remember people's death date.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Did you even know it was the 20th? I mean, were you even aware of that?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think like that. So when he called me, he's like, hey, can you believe it's been 20 years since your dad died? I was like, no, I can't. I mean, in some ways, it seems like it was 50 years ago. And in other ways, it seems like it was yesterday because everybody tells me a story a day around St. Louis at Starbucks about my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I dream about him like five nights a week. So he doesn't feel like he's been gone that long on one hand. On the other hand, that's a lifetime ago. Mm-hmm. That was died in 02. I mean, my whole life was different in 02. Trudy was my youngest child. She was 3.
Yeah.
So not even 3, about to turn 3. So, it's hard. And it's funny. I didn't know you then, obviously, at all. And what you may not know about what happened when my dad died. So he was in the hospital for 7 months in intensive care, went in for lung cancer, but also had diabetes and Parkinson's and all these other things that he had going on. And he got an infection, and more than the cancer, because they took the cancer out, they lopped off that bit of his lung.
Mm-hmm.
That was fine, but he got infection. And because he had these other things going on, like diabetes is a bitch with infection.
Mm-hmm.
And Parkinson's trying to get off a ventilator, he never got out. So he was in there for 7 months. And I went there every day for 7 months unless I was out of town. It was, you know, 10 minutes from my house. So I would go in there and sit. And it's hard watching somebody deteriorate for 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And had all these conversations. And we've talked about some of those conversations. But then he passed away. And when he died almost 20 years ago to when this came out, I then switched modes and I called the guy that I talked to today, the reporter from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Dan Caesar. I called KMOX Radio when I got home and I did an interview with the overnight guy, John Carney, who now works with my sister at another radio station. And I did an interview about my dad's life and talked about him and we took calls and all that. And then 2 days later, I'm emceeing an event at Busch Stadium as he laid in state, basically. And people are filing past his casket. And, you know, we've got mm-hmm. speakers, got, you know, Costas was in town and a player or two, La Russa was there. And I'm at Busch Stadium and I'm the MC of mm-hmm. my dad's memorial Jeez. Service. And then the next day is his funeral, and I have to give the eulogy. So now I have to do that in a church. And I followed my half-sister, Christine, and she gave this great eulogy. And I was sitting there thinking, like, how am I going to start this? Because I couldn't even write it. I was so burned out by then.
Mm-hmm.
I waited till the last minute the night before. And my first line when I got up there after my sister spoke was, you know, it's a bad feeling when you're sitting in a church and you're about to give a eulogy for your dad and you realize the eulogy you're following is way better than the one you're about to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hers was so good. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't even match that. It was so well thought out. And so the point of all this is he dies. He and I were extremely close, but I never cried.
Mm.
Not one time. I cried. Actually, that's not true. I cried one time when I went, and maybe we've talked about this before, maybe not. I've done a million podcasts.
Yeah.
Not just ours. But I went to visit my grandma, my mom's mom, who was really close with us. That's the only time I broke down crying, but she was sick. And I think I was more sad about her being sick, thinking I'm about to lose my dad and my grandma. But I never cried. I still don't. And it kind of blows Michelle away that she just lost her dad. As we speak, she's going through her dad's old house and trying mm-hmm. to find bank account statements and, you know, anything he's buried and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever he's got in his house, they're flying blind on that. But she's been an emotional wreck about it. And I never cried one time about my dad dying. It's just odd.
Yeah, that is crazy. I did know that you hadn't cried. I didn't know that you had cried one time with your grandmother, or not your grandmother, with whoever.
Yeah, with my grandma.
Yeah,
so I, you know, whatever.
Right. I didn't know that.
It's funny how 20 years late, 20 years. That's like, wow.
Maybe it's time to cry.
Yeah, but I mean, how do you do that?
You just get this like, you know, Vicks vapor rub stuff and just put it in the corners of your eyes.
In my eyes.
Yeah, put it in your eyes and then
not
just,
under my nose, not on my chest.
No.
When you were a kid and you were sick, did your mom put Vicks on your chest?
Oh, that smell is so nostalgic to me. It's crazy.
But then my mom would tape a washcloth on
right.
it. Which is such an old school move with safety pins.
Yeah.
And so that started another fight one time when I was rubbing on Wyatt's chest, and she's like, "Now are you going to put a washcloth on?" I'm like, "No, you didn't need to put a fucking washcloth on this thing when I was five either." With safety pins that I was always scared were going to unhook jab me in the chest as I'm sleeping.
I know, totally. Yeah, I remember that Vic stuff very well. I didn't do the washcloth. It was just put on my chest and sort of neck area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they made you walk outside in Aspen and walk around
mm-hmm.
when you mm-hmm. had the croup.
But maybe this is what you do. You just put a little Vicks vape rubs in the corner of your eyes and then just start the tears and just be like, "Dad." And just say "Dad" a few times. And then, boom, you did it.
Do it in front of Michelle so she thinks I'm actually losing it.
Yeah, or you time it to where she's just hearing you having a private moment. you know, and then she walks in on you and you're just bawling and she comforts you. And then and you're like, it's finally all come out. And she's like, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. And then you slowly kiss her. And, you know, you need, you know, it's one of those moments where you just need someone close and then it gets passionate.
Except it's all fake.
Right, right, right. This is not real. And then you're just basically duping her into making love with you by crying about your father.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, because then it's like you get, you know, she's in your face and she goes, I'm so sorry, baby. And then you're like, no, I'm okay. And then you like give her a little kiss and you hard, you know what I mean? One of those scenes where it just starts to get a little hot and heavy, you know, because you need something else. You need to release, you know, because you've got all this pain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm even sickened by that. Like, I'm picturing my daughters going, ugh, listening to this. But even I'm sickened by the idea. Like, it makes me uncomfortable.
Were you picturing it when I was saying it, visualizing?
Well, I mean, you're such a wordsmith. You're so talented with words that I was there for a moment, and I hit the eject button because I just didn't want to be there anymore.
Right.
Do you think you will be emotional when your dad dies?
I do. I don't know, but I do. I do think so. I mean, it'll probably be a mix of everything, you know, of like regret and, you know, there's probably a lot that's going to go into it. But yeah, I think so. I think I will be.
If that's the case, then why don't you do something about your relationship now, like actually force a meeting?
I know. I don't know. It's a good question. And as everyone who's listened to this knows that we've texted and, you know, it just never gets to the point of seeing each other, even though we're so close. And it's probably, I'm the one who needs to take control of it all, and I just don't.
Which is sad to say, but yes, you do. And it's not like he lives in Wisconsin. He lives in Malibu.
No, he lives 15 minutes away, you know?
Yeah. So, come on.
Yeah, I know. I know. I started a text thread with my uncles, my dad, my cousins, because I think my dad and his two brothers reconciled. There's a picture of them that was sent to me. And then
like the
lunch,
Black Crows.
Yeah, it is like the Black Crows. They're back. I just saw them, actually, at the Troubadour. Amazing.
Were they hard to handle?
They were. They were very hard to handle. But, you know, I remedied that.
Okay.
Sarah, my cousin, hit me up with this picture. I was like, oh, my God, they're back together. And so we created a text chain, and everyone responded but my dad. But I think that's because he has a phone that is from, you know, maybe the late 90s, at best early 2000s. It's like a serious flip phone. It's like a burner phone, basically.
Right.
I'm not sure he
can. So you didn't even get like new phone, this?
No, he got an iPhone once and could not deal with it or figure it out and like threw it away and went back to a burner phone. So there's a good chance he didn't get this text thread because he's not a part of new technology. But I do. I should probably shoot him a text.
Yeah, or fucking call him. Would it kill you to call him?
I do. I call him, man.
But if he can't text or doesn't want to text or is tapping out 50 buttons to say, I miss you, son, let's get together.
I know, it's true.
Wouldn't it be easier for him to just say it?
Yes, yeah. Well, I've tried to call him, you know, and it just rings through. But, no, it's true.
Hey, Dad.
The fact that he takes him 6 hours to get a text through, but he's got, like, you know, number one is ABC, so it's kink, 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 kink,
right.
Kink, kink, kink. Kink, kink, you know, and then it's like, the.
Well, Margot has just volunteered to be the middle person to get this going just for the sake of our pro bono podcast.
I know. Well, I mean, honestly, he would 100% be a guest. He would do it in a heartbeat. I'd just have to corner him and, you know, I'd have to get the tech to him. I'd probably be in the room with him with another mic. You know, because there's no world where he's going to figure it out, even though he does have his own studio and knows how to, you know, work a mixing board.
Well, but, since this is called Daddy Issues, yeah. I think our last ditch effort on this thing
mm-hmm.
is to have you do that, and we interview your dad about mm-hmm. his faults and mm-hmm. his reasons,
mm-hmm.
and then it becomes Entertainment Tonight
yeah.
and New York Post. And
right.
It's everywhere. Oliver Hudson grills his father
yes.
on his own podcast about why he left the family.
Yeah.
That's it. If anything's ever going to work to get people to listen to this thing,
yeah,
that's it.
I agree. I agree. And going back to the thing, that, yeah, the issue is that we could even have a lot of people listening to us. I am discouraged that we'd even find money anywhere. The truth is, our numbers, the people who listen to us, we have decent downloads, you know, and we should be making some money. That's just the way it is. Again, with Unconsciously Coupled, we have zero. We didn't have any downloads and we were making money. We need an advocate. We need someone who is going to be selling our ads and pushing for us and giving us the opportunity to convert on some of these brands.
Which podcast will last longer as we sit here on the 15th of June?
This will never
die. My sister's birthday turns 50 today.
Yay.
It's frightening when your younger sister turns 50.
I know, it's crazy.
But yeah, so I'm saying, which one goes further on the calendar? This one or Unconsciously Coupled?
Well, I feel like you and I are going to be in our 80s doing this just because. You know what I mean? I think this is going to last for, forever and ever and ever.
But I don't want it to.
I don't either. I mean, it's weird. It's. I love it. I love talking to you. And but at the same time, there has to be some shit has to go down. You know what I mean? Like, we got to figure this out. You know, we got to talk to our peeps and be like, look, you guys, it's crazy. You know.
If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, don't keep it to yourself. Please share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We beg you.
Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up right after the break.
So is this our, you know, you and I haven't talked about, but prior to getting on this podcast today, except we did text yesterday when you were at your son's eighth grade graduation.
Yeah, that was interesting. You know, it was
and you were in a gigantic sombrero, and yeah. you gave me a picture of the entire stage, and I had to pick out your son. I didn't see that part of the picture initially where Wilder was there, so yeah. I found him easily. I mean, it's big old floppy head of hair.
Yeah.
And yeah. It was easy to spot.
It's funny because obviously he knows me so well. I'm his father, and he knows that I fuck with them incessantly. And his line gets up to be called, and it's, you know, they're doing all the names alphabetically. And he's about third from being called. And he looks over at me and he just starts shaking his head like this. He's like, don't do it. Because I did have something planned, you know, to just because I have no shame. And everyone's like golf clapping, you know, for the kids, and I was gonna just go nuts. And
yeah,
and he knew it.
As you should.
Yeah, and he looks over at me, he shakes his head like, don't do it. Because, you know, he
now, so you take that as a challenge.
I did not. I respected him because I'm trying to sort of earn his trust, you know. I think a lot, I get nervous that sometimes I mess with him so much and embarrass him, and you know that he doesn't tell me things that
he's
going
to run away. Yeah, got it.
Right, and I, okay. I gave him a little bit. I was just like, I love you or whatever, but I was going to do much more than that. You know,
what was at your most grandiose
mm-hmm.
planning
mm-hmm.
mentally?
Yeah.
What would you have, what's the biggest thing you thought about maybe doing?
Well, I was going to say, Wilder, I was like, you know, I love you, and, you know, something. And then I was just going to scream out, I'm proud of you. Like, you barely made it or something like that.
Can I just say good editing yourself? Good self-edit.
I know. But when he, I drop
him off. Nobody in your family saw this day coming.
Right. But I when I drop him off, he walks and then crosses a crosswalk like in front of me usually. And I let them both have it. And his friends. Whenever I see his friends too, I let them all have it. But my go-to is like diaper. I'm like, Wilder, like, remember, I put your diaper in your backpack. And he's not looking at me. I'm like, Wilder, look at me. I just acknowledge it. You know, you're wearing yours now, but if at lunch you need a new one, the diaper is in your backpack. And the crossing guards they're laughing their asses off every time.
That's all. I used to do that to my sister because I'm 3 years older than her. So I'd drive her to school at a place where, you know, she got picked on and she was, you know, never all that confident. And when we would go around the circle around the flag, I would, Julie Buck, ladies, Julie Buck is in the big Monday, folks. Big Monday. Julie's every day.
It's amazing.
And she just, wanted to kill me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I'm tight with a couple of Wilder's friends, like really tight. So when I see Dylan like walking and, you know, I'll do the same thing with him.
You got friends, Dylan and Wilder?
Yeah, Dylan, Wilder, Ben, Balt is one of his boys.
Balt?
Yeah, like Baltazar, but Balt. Quinn, so Ollie. Kid named Oliver.
Nebuchadnezzar. Nebby. Yeah.
But it's fun, man. I love screwing with the kids like that. He's like, brings me such joy. It just makes me laugh.
Yeah, he's
like,
going to be in therapy for decades because of this.
Yeah, or he's going to respect it and love it and do it himself. You know what I mean?
Oh, he will.
Yeah, he will. He will for sure. And that's, you're right about filtering myself there and not saying that, because that would have been bad. Yeah, at the graduation, being like, you barely made it, and yeah. So I'm happy. I'm happy it all went down the way it did.
So I started to say before we got off on this cul-de-sac that is this our way of saying, you know, if shit doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
We may be nearing the end of our run as daddies with issues.
We just have to. The thing is, we
because
do this
you
all.
You have podcasts coming out of your ass. Every time you turn around, you're doing a podcast.
It's really two, meaning I've got Unconsciously Coupled and I've got this. The one with Kate, Sibling Revelry, is we're doing it in seasons now. So we did 8, we did 10 shows and that launched. And now we're accumulating more. Actually, we talked to this amazing woman yesterday. I won't get into the whole thing, but she's 97 years old. Her name is Edith Eger, and she's a Holocaust survivor from Auschwitz. And she's one of the most incredible people I've ever talked to and met, and her spirit and her stories and what she went through and her parents, you know, being killed the first day they were there. And it was so gnarly. Anyway, my point is that that's not there. Unconsciously Coupled is, but it's easy. It doesn't take a lot of time. You know, we do it in bed. You know, we're in bed at night and just like light one up and go to work.
Hey, babe. I can just hear. Hey, babe. And you're getting, I know your little verbal crutches the whole time. It's going to be like, I mean, you know what I mean?
You know
and then
I mean?
She's going to do hers. And then it's, oh, yeah.
Why don't you listen to it?
I no fucking way will I listen to that.
What do you mean? I watch you on TV.
I've never listened. Yeah, okay. I watch you on TV. I've never listened to your sister's podcast with you, and I sure as hell am not going to listen to you and Aaron going on and on and on.
Well, you know, it's so sad for you then is, you know, you're going to hate it when you and Michelle are on our podcast because we've talked about you guys being our first actual guests. So.
Well, that's fine. That's a different category. I'm happy to come on and waste more time in front of this computer for another podcast. I did somebody else's podcast today.
I know.
I'm doing Brian Baumgartner's podcast.
Are you?
On Friday.
Yes. Jesus. Tell him to give you some of that Cameo money.
Is he killing it on Cameo?
Oh, dude, he makes like $3 million a year.
By being the guy from The Office?
Yes, and just his life is cameo. You should flip the pizza on him and ask him about that. It's crazy. I mean, he makes so much money. It's stupid.
Okay.
No, but you're a generous man. Like you can't say no, which is probably an issue. Like we could dive into with a psychologist and
it is. I
really
hate
figure
it.
Out why you are like that.
Guilt.
But where does that guilt come from?
From being my dad's kid, getting into the same business and feeling like all these doors were flung open for me. And now if somebody needs my help,
mm-hmm.
of course, I'm there to help. So you need me as a guest? Yes.
Yeah.
Let me cram it into my life and be bitter about it and be mad. I'll give you my best when I'm sitting here,
yeah.
but I'm pissed off when I wake up in the morning and I'm
yeah.
pissed off right before I do it. And I'm pissed off when I hang up. But while I'm on, I'm going to give you everything I got.
Yeah.
Unlike one guest that you and I have had who
yeah.
was a
yeah.
somebody that I was really excited
me
to have
too.
And was an absolute F+.
Yeah. That was so weird.
That was such a disappointment.
I know. Well, do we go back to some guests? I mean, those pop-ins were fun, and we can keep those going. And honestly, to touch on your rant at the beginning of this podcast, you know, which was really good and beautifully worded, I will say that you are way more popular and have way more relationships than I do. Yes, I have my family. Kurt will never do it. Wyatt won't do it. You know what I mean? Those two are out. They're just private people, and it's not their thing. My mom, I can get to come on easy. She will come on and do something. Kate did. You know, who else do I have? I don't know anybody. You know everybody. Because you do barter, you do things for people, and then they owe you an exchange, and vice versa.
Right, I've helped Martin Short with an issue.
Right,
but I feel bad about asking Martin Short
right.
to come on.
Yeah, as you should. Like, okay, whatever.
I feel like he's busy, and he's going to feel compelled to do it because I did something for him. And
I want to know what
it doesn't
what
work
issue
both ways.
You helped Martin Short with. We don't have to talk about it, but that just sounds. Interesting. Marty calls you. He's like, Joe, I've got an issue that I need your help with.
Yeah, it's exactly what happened.
Huh.
Yeah. And it went on over a period of a couple of years.
Mm. Oh, wow. Oh, cool. I like that. Marty's the
yeah.
best guy in the world. I mean,
anything that guy does,
yeah.
I'm in.
He's the
anything
best.
He does on TV, movie, whatever.
Yeah, he's been friends with our family for a long, long, long time. It's my mother's, like, Kurt's best friend. And Wyatt and Ollie, his kid, are best friends. And so he's like a really, Uncle Marty, we call him Uncle Marty. He's just one of the great human beings. I mean, just
well, I got to sit person. With him at that thing that I did for your mom when I emceed that
event. Oh, right.
At that crazy house in Beverly Hills.
I think
or
that was
Bel-Air
Ron Burkle's house. Was it Burkle's house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were there, Kate.
Yeah. We were friends, but not like we are now. Isn't that funny?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. If I could go back in time, I would center everything I said that night around you. And how much a mind-up program would have helped a troubled student like Oliver Hudson.
That would have been a good bit. That would have been funny.
Right. I want you all to look at table 4. There's
you
a
should,
man there who, when he was a child, needed the Mind Up program more than anybody else in the history of time needed mm-hmm. A little time out to relax and gather his thoughts and maybe do a little yoga and think about things before they go into calculus. And I'm talking about the one and only Oliver Hudson right there. And sure, Goldie's a little disappointed and embarrassed of him, but he's there and he could have used this kind of help. So you're doing good things, people.
Right. And then you bring me up on stage. Why don't you come up here and have and tell him how you and I'm just be like, just an idiot.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
No, I know that was a fun night. That was a fun night. Again, that's you just being a good man. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
Rashida Jones, you know her. She's your quote-unquote BFF. Get her on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Rashida.
But you won't. You won't. You'll get her on Unconsciously Coupled and or Sibling Revelry.
No, we won't.
Way before you'll get her on Daddy Issues. Her dad is Quincy Jones, for God's sake. I mean, what a layup.
Yeah. I think I've asked her. You know, I definitely asked her for Sibling Revelry a while back when we started, and she said no nicely. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, maybe.
Okay. I mean, I'm a fan of hers. She was
amazing.
In I Love You, Man with Rudd. She was phenomenal.
Yeah, she's great. She's a good human. Okay, we could work on that, you know. I don't know. Phil Mickelson?
Yeah. Yeah, not much going on with him.
No.
Hey, Phil, I'll go through Meldman. Can you get me Phil for the Daddy Issues podcast? Let's see. We'll record Friday during the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Before he shoves off to another LIV tour event.
So I think the LIV, I think it's a 3-year deal.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to ask people about that.
I heard it's a 3-year deal.
So within 3 years, these people... Like Dustin Johnson's making $125 million for 3 years?
Yeah, so Bryson, I played golf with a kid 2 days ago who he says is really, really good friends with DeChambeau. Like they're homies, I guess. And he said that it's a 3-year deal and then Bryson got $75 million like up front, boom, right then. That's what I heard. And then the rest is all guaranteed money. It's just going to be parceled out. But the initial hit was $75 million.
I don't know. I've been thinking more and more about it since we talked about it last week. I unless I was struggling,
mm-hmm.
and there are plenty of professional tour players that are struggling
sure.
to make cuts, to make the top whatever it is that gets their card automatically, top 125, whatever it is. And you're dead in the water. I mean, I get it for those guys. Mm-hmm. But for the DJs of the world and whatever, I know it's a massive check. But I just, with what it comes with, my answer is no.
Yeah. But I guess someone like DJ really doesn't care about what it comes
with. How can you not care?
Because
don't care about your legacy. You don't care about. I mean,
you don't. Okay.
All right.
You know, I mean, he doesn't. You don't, and it's just so much.
Like
money.
To me, it makes more sense. And I guess you can't have it both ways. But it makes more sense for Pat Perez,
mm-hmm.
who's our mutual friend,
yeah,
to do it because he's 46 years old
yeah.
and he's you know hanging on.
Yes,
which he'd be the first to say that. And now you got a guaranteed chunk of money, the likes of which he's not going to make. I understand that.
That's what I love about Pat. Like when I watched some of the LIV tour and they had Pat on, like make his announcement, and it was a Zoom call from his home or whatever. And that's why I love Pat so much. It's like he was just straight up. He's like, look, you know, like it's money. I need the money. I got my family. You know, it's going to afford me freedom to be with them. You know, I'm set now. He's like, I'm set. I'm good. You know, blah, blah, blah. He's just very open and upfront rather than like, we're going to go grow the game of golf, you know, through a 3-round shotgun start. I'm like, that's not golf. That's with no cut.
I don't like that end of it at all.
There's no cut.
I don't like.
I mean, the whole thing
there's
is
no
crazy.
Cut. The guy who finished in last place made $120,000, dead last.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's cool to watch a guy like Henny, you know, DuPlessis, Youngman. You know, who has $700,000 in career earnings, all of a sudden finish second, and then won part of his team and won $3.6 million or whatever it was. I mean,
I guess it's just so silly.
I'm happy for him. It's life changing. You know what I mean? But it's not real golf, and that's what John Rahm was even saying today at his press conference for the U.S. Open. He's like, 54 holes, shotgun start, no cuts? He's like, that's not golf. That's not a real golf tournament.
That's just not, as a fan of golf, that's not appealing to me.
No, no. But the money thing, you know, I get it. It's funny because I was Wyatt and I have a mutual friend who's in the golf world, and he texted Wyatt about the potential pro-am situation of this LIV Golf Tour. I don't know if we talked about whether you'd go or not. Did we talk about that last podcast? I don't think so.
No, but I would not.
Of course not, right? But he is saying that this guy is saying that, you know, there's potentially like $250,000 to $300,000 to go play a fucking pro-am, you know? That's crazy time.
I mean, it's like we are overpaying to get into the club and just kind of whitewashing everything that's happened.
Yeah.
And papering everything over with money. I just, yuck.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. I know. But, you know, it is what it is.
And, his or her own.
Well, what if it was France, you know, who was fronting up the money, or Great Britain, and it wasn't Saudis? Do you think it would be a
completely
different
story?
Game? Right.
Completely different to me. But,
yeah.
All right. I have to run. My help leaves in 4 minutes. So
right, go, baby.
I'm going to say, God bless you. Godspeed. Way to edit yourself and not embarrass Wilder at graduation.
Thank you. Real quick, am I going to see you anytime soon? Like, what do you have any? What's your deal? Are you just in St. Louis?
Yeah, but I'm coming out there for that member guest. But you're going to be in Albuquerque.
All right, baby.
Okay.
All right. Bye, Josh. Bye, Marge.
Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margot Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Bach, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.